We're going to start off the Snap Judgment Gratitude Special within the confines of a tight, loving family. But when our next guest was a child, her pops could be a little strict. Snap Judgment.
In everything, from the clothes we wore and the friends we had. When we had church, if it was 3 times a week, we had to be there 3 times a week. He had to have things a certain way. The other thing that drove me crazy about my dad is the way that he disapproved of all of my boyfriends, of all of the guys that I ever dated, consistently. One guy he didn't like me dating because he wasn't religious. One time my dad didn't like someone because he drove a red Corvette. And I remember one time I was trying to go meet this guy. And my dad, as I was running out the door, took my house keys from me and just like went in the house so that I couldn't leave. And I have a very free personality. And so we would argue and he never budged. But then one day my church threw a cotillion. And I mean, we have the gowns and the boys were in suits, and it was really, really fancy for us. And one of the guys there was very cute. And that's the first thing I noticed about him, is that he was very cute. And about 15 minutes later, he walks over to me, and he asks me to dance. And it's so funny because he asked me, and I could see my dad out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, oh, God. But I was like, okay, so we danced, you know, to this song. And he smelled really good. And I like good smelling things. We didn't talk. We were silent the whole time that we were dancing. But it was just kind of like, strangely, a very comfortable feeling. Because, you know, sometimes when you meet people and you're attracted to them, there's like these nerves and then you step on each other's feet. That didn't happen. It was just kind of like we had met before. And it was just a very intense but innocent moment. And I could just, it was great. So the guy's name was Dwayne. And about 3 weeks later, he called me. And it's just like, we had this great conversation. And they never stopped. We had a conversation that night. And the next day we had a conversation. And from then on, it was just kind of a whirlwind teenage romance. He was the first boy to ever make me feel loved by listening to me and understanding who I was and then acting on that. And there were reasons why I didn't feel worthy of that love. We were from vastly different sides of the track. My parents were low income. We lived in the city of Eastside, not even the better parts. And he came from a completely opposite background. You know, when you go into Dwayne's parents' house, there's statues, the maid has come and washed all the dishes. And it was a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house in the suburbs. But to me, that was a castle. And so I'm like, okay, you should love a princess. Like, why are you loving me? It's so weird. What are you doing? It never mattered to him, you know, because I sometimes would bring it up. I'm like, oh, you know, you shouldn't drive all the way over here at night. And he's just like, who cares? This is where you are. So this is where I want to be. It didn't even make him flinch. It's just like, you shouldn't love me, but you do, and I don't understand why, but that is so major. And the most surprising part about all of this is that my dad adored him. He sat me down and he was like, I really like Dwayne. He's, you know, into the church and he's surrounded with good people. And he was actually in an engineering program. And my dad has a degree in electrical engineering. So yeah, they would sit in the living room and talk, which was so weird. But it's a fairy tale. You don't think the perfect guy exists. You know, you hear about it and it's like, oh, that's nice. But he was. And if this was what love was, this is what I wanted forever. But then one day, about a year later, and this is, it kind of gets unusual here because I woke up that morning and I woke up naturally. which is the first sign that something is wrong, because my mom always wakes me up early on Saturday so that I can clean the bathroom. And that didn't happen. I just woke up. So almost like she could sense I woke up. She just kind of like opened the door and she said, you know, can you come downstairs? So I turned the corner and she's sitting on the bed with her TV off, which is also unusual. And like when I looked at her face, I immediately knew that he was dead. Immediately. Like I just knew that something was seriously wrong. And the only person that I loved as much as Dwayne was Dwayne. And I just needed to hear her say the words. And she said, you know, Dwayne's mom called. Dwayne died last night. He was playing basketball. And his friends say that he had caught the ball and he was dribbling down the court. And all of a sudden, he just stopped and he collapsed. And it was from a small hole in his heart that no one had ever known was there. And so everybody just ran over to him. And by the time they got to him, he was already gone. And I just kind of, I didn't react. How do you react to that? I just stared at my reflection in the mirror. And so she said, are you okay? And I didn't answer her. And she said, well, do you want to go to your room? And I said, yes. And as soon as I got in my room, I just started crying. Because we were supposed to go to the movies, you know? We were supposed to be at Blade that night. And like, it took days for me to understand that he was not going to call me, you know, that he wasn't going to instant message me, that he wasn't going to page me, because you just want that feeling back, like, especially when it's taken away from you without notice. You just want it back. Almost immediately after it happened, I started to collect everything I could find that had his name on it, about him, about his death. If someone's saying something on the radio, I would record it as fast as I could. I had like my recorder on standby, and I just kind of cleared off an area on my dresser, and I just stacked everything up there, and no one could touch it. If anyone came in my room, they knew not to go near the Dwayne Memorial, because it was very important to me. I went from an honor roll student to, I was getting like C's and D's and everything. I just couldn't concentrate. I couldn't focus. I didn't want to date because I firmly believed there was no other Dwayne. And aside from that portion of it, I didn't want to date people because I was afraid they would die. And so I felt like the more people I could cut off and exclude from my life, the better off I would be, because I wouldn't have to love them and I wouldn't have to lose them. But then one day, when I was older, I was home by myself. My parents were both at work, and I went looking for a vinyl record that I knew that my dad had in the basement. And I definitely knew that I had to be careful, because the basement was my dad's sanctuary. He kept everything that was really important to him down there. And we knew as children that if it was in dad's basement, it wasn't to be taken out of the basement or messed with, you know, leave these things alone. But then I noticed a newspaper. And the reason the newspaper stuck out to me is because it was starting to yellow. And it was underneath some things, almost like it was being hidden. So I got curious. And on the cover of the newspaper, it said, Dwayne Cockrum. And then it had a page number where the rest of the story was. And so now I'm thinking, I haven't seen this newspaper before. I turn to the page and it starts out with how he died and how wonderful he was. And then it starts to describe his girlfriend and how she was dealing with the loss of the love of her life. And it said her name was Pamela. And my name is not Pamela. And so my fantasy, I think, my dreams about what he was were really crushed. He was cheating on me. And there's no chance that it's a mistake, because the city that she lived in, it wasn't Cleveland, it was the suburb that he lived in. So she was one of him. I was from this other side of the track, and she was from his. And so there was no confusion on the writer's part. He had two girlfriends. But then the second thing I realized is that, like, my dad had this newspaper all this time, and he had concealed this from me. Because I think he knew that knowing the truth at the same time that I was grieving would have been devastating for me. And I don't know at what cost and how long, I guess forever, you know, he was willing to keep this from me, to spare my heart. But, you know, that's love. So I just, you know, put it back. And he got home, and I didn't act any differently. It's kind of strange. It's just, like, kind of circular. I so fiercely wanted to protect my dad's effort, you know, to keep this secret. And so I wanted him to continue existing in a space where he believed that the knowledge of good and evil was far from me. And I didn't want him to feel like he lost that battle. So, you know, he came in, we worked on homework and talked, and that was it. But shortly after, I took the Duane Memorial down. And I'm sure if I was to check in the basement, the newspaper would be still there, right where it was. And I have never told him that I know. He still doesn't know that I know.
Thank you to Beverly Gooden for sharing that story with The Snap. Today, Beverly's a writer and a human resource manager in North Carolina. Find out more about her on our website, snapjudgment.org. Original sound design on that story was by Leon Morimoto. It was produced by Joe Rosenberg.